Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
You got 2 million people throughout the night walking through the sea on powder ground. There was no way forward. There was no way on the side. There was no way back until what? Until God made a way. And when you walk with God, God will always make a way at just the right time to get you where you need to go, because that's who our God is.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. As Christians, we know that God's ultimate plan for our lives is for the good, but we also know that life isn't always full of sunshine and rainbows, and sometimes we find ourselves in a crisis. That's why today on Brave, Pastor Jeff offers practical, timely advice from the book of Exodus on how to trust God in our trials. Before we begin, just want to remind you that if you miss any of these programs on the radio, you can always listen at bravemedia.online. But now, let's join Pastor Jeff for today's message, Trust God in Your Trials.
A trial happens when you're doing the things that the Lord requires of you and you're walking in the ways of the Lord, and then something hits. And it hits so hard as if you begin to wonder, why is this happening? Why is it happening now? Why is this happening to me? And what in the world do I do to get out of the situation that I'm in? And that's what we're going to talk about today is, how can you trust God in your trials? So we're going to talk about 5 musts of our trust to really enjoy the trials that God sends our way so that we can not only get through them, but thrive in them. If you have a Bible, I encourage you right now to open up to Exodus chapter 14. It says in chapter 14, verse 1, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-hahiroth and between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.' And they did so." The first must when you're going through a trial is that you must acknowledge God is actively authoring all of your circumstances. The same God authors the good and the bad. The same God's working it all out. What we see here, before the story unfolds, you need to see that God is the one who's authoring everything that's going to take place. He's saying what's going to happen to Israel. He's saying what's going to happen to Egypt. And he's saying in all of it, I'm going to be God. So as you walk with the Lord, know that trials will come. Tribulation will be a part of your life. And when they come, just acknowledge this, that God is active. He's not distant. He's not somewhere else. He's actively authoring your circumstances. Number 2 is this. If you're going to trust God in trials, you must not only acknowledge that God's actively authoring your circumstances, but you must stop whining to God and stop blaming others. So Pharaoh's coming with 600 chariots plus multiple other chariots and the entire army. And as he draws near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became what? Frightened. Because they don't have faith to believe that God's going to do anything. Now they're in the blaming stage. Notice who they go after. Moses. What are they saying? God, why'd you bring us here? And Moses, it's your fault. It was better to be a slave than being free. Do you hear him blame? You say, well, why would we need to know that? Because we do the same thing, don't we? If God's the author of it, and you're talking about how bad it is, what are you saying? The God I serve doesn't know what the heck he's doing. So let's talk about some truths about trials. I'll give you 5 truths about trials that you can write down real quick. When you're going through a trial, these are 5 truths about trials. Number 1 is this. Trials serve multiple purposes. Number 2, we've mentioned it already. Trials grow your faith. Number 3, when you go through trials, it provides certainty of God's present goodness. Number 4 is this. Trials impact other people. And 5th is this, and we've already mentioned it. It brings God glory. Trials bring God glory. 3rd is this. The 3rd must. You must know that God is fighting for you. Notice this in verse 13. But Moses said to the people, do not what? Fear. Do not fear. It's all over the Bible. Do not live in your fear. Don't take counsel of your fear. Fear is, this is never going to get any better. Fear is, this is never going to change. Fear is, I'm doomed. Fear is, there's no way out of this. That's fear. We've all lived with that emotion. But do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Don't you love that? Believe that the Lord's fighting for you. Oftentimes when we go through a trial, we forget that the Lord's fighting for us. We forget that he's doing things for us. We begin to think, well, if God was so good, then why this? And that's when the devil's voice gets loud and says something like this. Either you don't deserve to have to go through this, or you deserve better than this. And if your God was so good, then why? How come nobody else has had to endure what you endure? You ever hear that lie? That's all it is a lie. Here's what you can know. When you realize God's author in your circumstances and you're not complaining or whining or blaming, then you can say, my God has my back and he's working through this and he's going to bring something good out of it. For God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. While this looks bleak, I know it's going to be good because my God fights for me. Amen? Even when you're going through the trial, even when there's tears and there's anguish and there's pain, guess where the Lord is? He's the God of all comfort. He's right there with you. He cares about every single situation, and he is the one who will fight for you. That's why Satan lies the loudest during trials, because he knows that if you can just continue to focus on the Lord and trust the Lord's doing good and trust the Lord's going to bring good, there's nothing he can do about it. God's always going to win. Good will always triumph over evil. That's who our God is. Then he says this, must number four, to trust God in trials, you must stand firm and take your next step of faith. What's he want us to do? He wants us to allow him to do the fighting in and through us, right? He wants us to seek him in prayer. God is the one who's going to do the work. And what's he tell us to do? Stand firm, let me do the fighting. Stand firm, take another step. What does God not want you to do? Don't look back. You just keep standing firm. This is where I'm at now. God, what's the next step? And when you're standing on that corner of darned if you do and darned if you don't, and I don't know where to go, here's what I can tell you. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And while God might now show you the full direction, he'll give you enough light to do this and take one step. And then there'll be enough light there and he'll show you the next step. You don't have to worry about what's the next 30 years look like or the next decade look like or the next month look like. When you're in a trial, oftentimes it's just that small little step. Hold your ground and keep moving forward. Don't you dare back up. Because here's what the enemy likes to tell us. Yeah, if God was so good, you would never marry that person. God was so good, you would have never had that job. God was so, quit looking back. Some of us spend all of our time hitting rewind on our life saying, if I would have only done, and if I would have only known, and if I would have done, God's still authoring good for you. You can't go back and fix anything. I can't go back and fix anything. What I can do is from this moment on, and what you can do from this moment on is like, okay, this is where I am. This is my current situation. This is my as is. This is where I'm at. Objectively, I'm going to stand firm right here, and I'm going to keep stepping with the Lord from this point on. I can't change my past, but I got someone better than that. I got a God that will give me grace for all of it, fill me afresh right now, and help me keep taking steps forward. Amen? That's what he's saying. So when you see the enemy come, he's going to tell Moses, you tell the people, keep moving forward. I already told you what to tell them. So that's what Moses tells him to do. Then God says to Moses in verse 16, as for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. So Moses, all you're going to need to do is this. You tell them to move forward, and then I want you to stand on the sea's edge, and I just want you to hold that staff out, you know, the one that I empowered months ago. Just hold that out. The sea's going to divide. Everybody's going to walk through it. It's cool. You got it? God says, as for me, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots, and through his horsemen. God says, all of Egypt's going to know I'm God. They saw me rain down plagues. They still don't get that I'm God. They're still not giving me the honor I deserve, but I'm going to get my honor. I mean, you see, if God's authoring these circumstances, what's he doing? He's invited Pharaoh into a ring for a battle. And Pharaoh's taken the invitation and is going to get utterly destroyed. We see it in the book of Revelation where God gives an invitation to all the nations of the world to gather together above Israel to come take him down. And the Lord's going to destroy them all. I mean, God will not be mocked. Friends, when you serve the Lord, I know in this world it feels like you're on the losing side. There's only 10% of us in the whole world that think this. I mean, we're kind of getting maligned. We're kind of being out. Friends, we are on the winning team. Jesus is going to show up and do some amazing things in and through us. I mean, if we're going to stand firm and take the next step, we take the next step, and that's where God is. And then God goes ahead of us, and he goes before us, and he says, now I'm over here. Take this step over here. And then we do that. And as we talked about last week, he doesn't take us from point A to point B to point C. He takes us here and then there and then here and then there because he wants us to listen to him and be obedient to him because he's growing us through it. And when you're in a trial, it's important that you hear him. It was important that Moses heard him. It was important that the people of Israel listened to him because God had a plan. Now, I love point number 5. I love all the points. They're just difficult, aren't they? I mean, it's difficult when we go through a trial to acknowledge that God's actually authoring that, when it's uncomfortable for us and it's uncertain how it's going to turn out and we just don't know. But we're called to do it. It's uncomfortable to not voice our complaints and our whining and our blame, but God says, yeah, don't do that. It's difficult to believe when we're going through the trial that God still is going to fight for us. And it's really difficult to believe that we're called to stand firm when we're living in fear and continue to take the same steps forward over and over again. We're just joining the Lord. He's doing the fighting. Now, if you'll do those 4 things, then the 5th must is where you need to land. And when you go through trials, you need this 5th must. You need to expect God to show up and show out. You need to expect God to show up and show out. Now, I'm going to read this section of scripture because you need to see what our God's going to do. He said what he's going to do. Now he's going to deliver on what he does. So watch what he does. As everyone is now aligned with what God's going to do, notice what happens next. It says in verse 19, the angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus, the one did not come near the other all night. Remember, during the day, there was a pillar, or during the night, there was a pillar of fire. During the day, there was a pillar of cloud. This pillar of cloud moves in to be the rear guard. And even at night, the cloud starts giving off light. So while it's night and Egypt can't see, Israel can see. And God is protecting Israel from Egypt. Why? Because who is our protector? The Lord. If the Lord doesn't want you to get touched, you're not getting touched. The man or woman of God in the will of God is immortal until God says so. God gets to decide. So God spins back around, is now their rear guard, is protecting Israel, is keeping Egypt out of the way. And notice what happens. Moses is obedient to the Lord, verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on what kind of land? Dry land, not muddy land, not soggy land. It's powder dry. I've listened to so many people try to teach God's word that don't believe in God, and then they try to come up with all these reasons why. God moved the water. That's why it was dry. And the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So can you imagine what's going on? You got 2 million people crossing the sea. Why? Because Moses held out his staff. And what's miraculous about this? Seas don't do that. And now they're being parted, and you got 2 million people throughout the night walking through the sea on powder ground. There was no way forward. There was no way on the side. There was no way back until what? Until God made a way. And when you walk with God, God will always make a way at just the right time to get you where you need to go, because that's who our God is. What did Moses have to do? I mean, it doesn't seem very hard. You just hold out a staff. God's doing all the work. God's the one that's getting glorified. I mean, it's an amazing story. Gave Charlton Heston a career. It's so good. Listen. Now notice what happened next. Verse 23. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. So at just the right time, God's going to let them come after. Now remember, this is the most powerful army in the world, but check out what happens. Verse 25. He caused. Well, who's the he? That's God. God caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, now look how the Egyptians are talking to each other. They're not silent. Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. When they go into the sea, their chariots are swerving. The drivers can't do this. The horses are all over the place. Even the Egyptian soldiers are like, we got to get out of here. Their God's fighting for Israel. We're toast, right? And notice what happened. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 28, the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them, not one of them remained. How many were alive at the end for Egypt? Zip, zero. If you're Hispanic, nada, right? I mean, zero, none. They're all dead. The greatest army in the world is done. They're all dead. Not one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Notice verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When the water subsided, all they saw were bodies coming up. These people that they were once afraid of, God said, you will never see their faces again forever. Was God faithful to his word? He's always faithful to his word. And notice this, when Israel saw the great power with which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared what? The Lord. They're no longer fearing their circumstances. They feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Moses is elevated because as they go through a trial, he continues to lead the way God wants him to lead. That's what gives him elevation in the eyes of the people. I mean, when I see this, I see all sorts of power that the Lord's doing. I mean, it's really interesting. I skipped this verse because I got so excited. Verse 24, at the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. I mean, now you got the cloud and the fire. I mean, there's so much going on. It's like a grand finale of fireworks for Egypt. It's as if they know, okay, he's God, Pharaoh's not God. Israel's God is God. Egypt's gods are not gods at all. They will bow to the God of Israel. I mean, that's what happens. Now, here's the problem. We read this story and we're like, that is such a good story. I believe it. Friends, the God you serve is the same God we're reading about right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The trials you're going through and the challenges that you have, it's the same God who's able to deliver you from them all. The reason we're reading the story is not so that we read a history book and say, that's really neat that God saved his people. Isn't that fun? No, this is a story that says God today will still get all his glory through your trials and insecurities. If you fear him rather than your circumstance, God will show up and show out in your life. And here's what I mean by that. I mean, if I'm just being theological, I think the way I'd make the point would be, you know, expect God's miraculous manifest presence in your life. Expect God to show up. Well, what do you mean show up? God's everywhere. The Bible makes it clear God's everywhere. The Bible makes it clear that God is always at work. The reason that your heart beats, the reason that we have oxygen, the reason that you're still sustained, it's because God is alive, he's everywhere and he's at work. When I talk about showing up and showing out, it's much like what I'm saying when, you know, commentators for a sporting event say, if so-and-so shows up today, they're gonna have a great day. Well, so-and-so's there. They're saying if he manifests himself, if he does what he's capable of doing. Here's the problem. Most of us don't expect God to show up and show out. We don't expect him to do anything. And so when we're training people that are new in the faith and they read stories like this and they're like, wow, that's awesome. I want to see God move like that. We say things like this falsely. Yeah, God did that once, but that's just history. Don't expect God to work like that in your life. What? The same God that's there is the same God that saved me and you. It's the same God that works through all of our circumstances. It's the same God that heals, the same God that delivers, the same God that provides, the same God that's still being glorified. Why would he be any less present now than he's ever been? Because his people don't expect him to be. I expect God to do things. I trust that God's gonna do things. I wish I could tell you, hey, the information I'm giving you, I've lived perfectly. And that's why God does great things in my life. I haven't. I'm just like you. All of us have failed and fallen short of the glory of God. But I know from experience in times that I've done this, that God has grown my faith significantly, that he's gotten more glory in my life, and that I love him more. And the lie of the enemy is, nope, that's true for everybody else except you. We hear about people's circumstances in a small group, and somebody tells us their story, and we tell them that our God can heal that. Our God can do that. But then we tell them our story, and people tell us that, like, oh, you don't understand. Mine's way more powerful than that. God can't do that. And yet there's all these scriptures in the Bible. When Mary asked the angel, well, how can this be? I've never known a man. What does the angel say? With God, all things are possible. What do we hear in Genesis 18 when Sarah wonders, how's this going to be? My husband's 100 and I'm 90. With God, all things are possible. What about when the man brings his son to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, and Jesus says, if I can, I can do all things for him who believes. What about when the disciples asked Jesus, how come we couldn't cast that demon out? He's like, because of the lack of your faith. You have faith the size of a mustard seed. You can tell this mountain to move from here to there and it'll be done. In other words, you don't have enough faith. And we read these scriptures like, I totally believe my Bible. I go to Bible church. We believe the Bible, except when it comes to our own lives and we don't apply it. I'm just telling you on the authority of God's word, expect God in your life. Expect him to show up. And by the way, he doesn't just show up in his house. He can show up in your office place. He can show up at your school. He can show up in your family. He can show up in your neighborhood. He can show up at the mall. He can show up anywhere where you expect him to come, where you're living out what God wants you to live out. Yeah. And isn't it true? Some people need to see a demonstration of this. It's interesting for me because God said, here's what I'm going to do. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. He invites Pharaoh to a battle to show Pharaoh that he's the all-powerful God of the universe and that Pharaoh is not. He does the same today. He invites us to come to him and he says, I love you so much. I sent my son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and to be raised from the dead so you can have life in his name. And some of us are like, no, I don't want that God. I want to be my own God. And God's calling you today. You need to repent and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I believe at any time had Pharaoh repented and said, you are right. You are God. We are done. We're not going after this. God would have forgiven him too. And then there's others of you today that are going through a trial, or you've been through a trial. And for those of you that think this is non-applicable, keep breathing. You will go through one. And when you do, and you're at that place that you don't know what to do, here's what God wants you to remember. He's authoring all your circumstances. He's inviting you to stop complaining about it, talking about it, whining about it, and realizing he's the one fighting for you. Stand your ground, keep moving forward, and expect him to show up and show out in your life. He wants to do amazing things in and through you. He's offering that to you. And the reason he's taking you through that trial is so that he can manifest himself through you in a way that even other people can say, their God is the God I want to believe in. Their God's the God I want to serve. Their God's the God that has power. How are they going to see that if you're not going through a trial? So God gives these things to us so that we can grow in his grace and be the fullness of what he wants us to be.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's message is the final part of a lesson titled, Trust God in Your Trials. And if you've missed any part of our ongoing study in the book of Exodus, you can catch up on any of these messages anytime at bravemedia.online. And here at Brave, we're dedicated to sharing the truth of God's Word as clearly as we can and as far as we can to help save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus Christ. We're incredibly grateful for faithful listeners like you who choose to play a part in this gospel ministry by supporting our efforts with a donation of any amount. Why not join us and give a financial gift today to help keep these gospel lessons coming to your local community and across the country by clicking the Donate tab on our website. Again, that's bravemedia.online. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Again, that's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Before we wrap up today, just want to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit us at our campus in Englewood, or our second campus in Westminster. Or join us wherever you are through our weekend live stream. For details, head to bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom, and click the button that says Brave Church. You can also stay connected with everything coming up here at Brave and have mobile access to all of Pastor Jeff's messages and notes when you download the Brave Church app to your phone or smart device. Just head to your app store and search for Brave Church Denver. I'm Bill Carl. Thanks so much for listening today. We look forward to having you back tomorrow when Pastor Jeff begins a brand new message from our study in Exodus called Praise the Lord. we're discovering that genuine praise comes easy when we truly bring our attention to the incredible character and power of God. That's coming up next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.